Chapter 13. Was not very extensive kindly disposed towards the boy, perhaps, because it was his interest to be so, perhaps, because his wife disliked him. The flood of tears, however, left him no resource, so he at once gave him a drubbing, which satisfied even Mrs. Sowerberry herself, and rendered Mr. Bumble's subsequent application of the parochial cane rather unnecessary. For the rest of the day, he was shut up in the back kitchen, in company with a pump and a slice of bread, and at night, Mrs. Sowerberry, after making various remarks outside the door, by no means complimentary to the memory of his mother, looked into the room, and, amidst the jeers and pointings of Noah and Charlotte, ordered him upstairs to his dismal bed. It was not until he was left alone in the silence and stillness of the gloomy workshop of the undertaker, that Oliver gave way to the feelings which the day's treatment may be supposed likely to have awakened in a mere child. He had listened to their taunts with a look of contempt. He had borne the lash without a cry. For he felt that pride swelling in his heart which would have kept down a shriek to the last, though they had roasted him alive. But now, when there were none to see or hear him, he fell upon his knees on the floor, and, hiding his face in his hands, wept such tears as, God send for the credit of our nature, few so young may ever have cause to pour out before him. For a long time, Oliver remained motionless in this attitude. The candle was burning low in the socket, when he rose to his feet. Having gazed cautiously round him, and listened intently, he gently undid the fastenings of the door, and looked abroad. It was a cold, dark night. The stars seemed, to the boy's eyes, farther from the earth than he had ever seen them before. There was no wind, and the somber shadows thrown by the trees upon the ground looked sepulchral and deathlike, from being so still. He softly reclosed the door. Having availed himself of the expiring light of the candle, to tie up in a handkerchief the few articles of wearing apparel he had, sat himself down upon a bench, to wait for morning. With the first ray of light that struggled through the crevices in the shutters, Oliver arose, and again unbarred the door. One timid look around, one moment's pause of hesitation, he had closed it behind him, and was in the open street. He looked to the right, and to the left, uncertain whither to fly. He remembered to have seen the wagons, as they went out, toiling up the hill. He took the same route, and arriving at a footpath across the fields, which he knew, after some distance, led out again into the road, struck into it, and walked quickly on. Along this same footpath, Oliver well remembered he had trotted beside Mr. Bumble, when he first carried him to the workhouse from the farm. His way lay directly in front of the cottage. His heart beat quickly, when he bethought himself of this, and he half resolved to turn back. He had come a long way though, and should lose a great deal of time by doing so. Besides, it was so early, that there was very little fear of his being seen, so he walked on. He reached the house. There was no appearance of its inmates stirring at that early hour. Oliver stopped, and peeped into the garden. A child was weeding one of the little beds. As he stopped, he raised his pale face, and disclosed the features of one of his former companions. Oliver felt glad to see him, before he went, for, though younger than himself, he had been his little friend and playmate. They had been beaten, and starved, and shut up together, many and many a time. Hush, Dick! ... said Oliver, as the boy ran to the gate, and thrust his thin arm between the rails to greet him. Is anyone up? ... Nobody but me, ... replied the child. You mustn't say you saw me, Dick, ... said Oliver. I am running away. They beat and ill-use me, Dick. And I am going to seek my fortune, some long way off. I don't know where. How pale you are. ... I heard the doctor tell him I was dying, ... replied the child with a faint smile. I am very glad to see you, dear, but don't stop, apostrophe apostrophe, yes, yes, I will, to say goodbye to you, apostrophe replied Oliver. I shall see you again, Dick. I know I shall. You will be well and happy. Apostrophe apostrophe, I hope so, apostrophe replied the child. After I am dead, but not before. I know the doctor must be right, Oliver, because I dream so much of heaven, and angels, and kind faces, that I never see when I am awake. Kiss me, apostrophe said the child, climbing up the low gate, and flinging his little arms round Oliver's neck. Goodbye, dear. God bless you. Apostrophe, the blessing was from a young child's lips, but it was the first that Oliver had ever heard invoked upon his head. And through the struggles and sufferings, and troubles and changes, of his afterlife, he never once forgot it. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.